Kelly regards to visitors at Nemata. This is the main professor with a talk entitled Confronting the COVID PSYOP. And this is a general orientation talk for visitors, which includes a certain amount of material and intel that is also specific to members of the school. To begin, I'll just take a moment to explain to you the method that I'm adopting lately in order to release content to visitors and continue to provide content to members in two parallel streams, you could say. My reason for doing this is quite simple. As I've often said, Planetary Tantra and the living gnosis of today is a field of discipline with its own terminology and jargon. So some of the members of Nemata have been with me for a good 10 years or better. And you could imagine us perhaps as a team of rock climbers. So among ourselves, due to our practice, and due to the sharing of our experiences on the cliff, we have developed a lot of references. We have developed practices and strategies that are specific to our field. So if you come on and join the team and you are a novice in rock climbing, it wouldn't be fair or correct to plunge you immediately into the depths of practice that we ourselves have mastered. I take it as my responsibility to speak to visitors in one way that is designed for your best interest and so that you benefit from what I say. And you certainly would not benefit if I overloaded you and confused you with a lot of terminology and illusions that are only familiar to people who have been in this program for many, many years. Now, having said that, let me remind you that a great part of the practices and techniques of Planetary Tantra, which is another name for the practice of Gnosis, are freely and openly available in the Planetary Tantra section. And the material in those units has been available to the world at large free since 2009. That's well over 10 years now. So if you delve into that material, you will be able to pick up a lot of the practices, the skills of the more advanced shaktas. For example, the practice of the autogenic method, which is biofeedback, but specifically a system of biofeedback designed to work with the living intelligence and presence of the divine Mother Earth. So you see the Shakti cluster is the icon of Planetary Tantra, and it is also the panel and console and tool for this unique form of autogenics. So it's all there for you, free and open, as you choose to investigate it. Also, I might add that it wouldn't be fair to the members if I made all the material that they are prepared to understand and put into practice widely available to visitors at Nemata. They are contributing donations to support the school. And so they are more intimately involved with the great experiment to be undertaken in knowing what is the divine experiment on earth and how to find your part in it. That is to say, how to live out your role as an actor in the living dream of what is called life. Remember that you are living in a dream, but the dream is real. it's material, and you are not the dreamer. Finally, let me add that myself and the admin of Nemeta are open to proposals that you might make regarding the possibility that you find it difficult to, say, subscribe for a 3-month membership, which is, I think, $104. So there are options for student reductions or newcomers and so forth if you send an email and explain your situation. And additionally, and this is more important to me, if you have some particular skill or talent to offer for supporting and developing the school in exchange for 3, 6, or a year's membership, 3 months, 6 months, or a year's membership, then feel free to write in and tell us what you can do, and we can make the appropriate arrangements. All right, so all that being said, let's see what I can tell you about confronting this horrific crime against humanity that is being perpetrated focally through the COVID-19 PSYOP. Now, it is a PSYOP, and it is an act of psychological warfare. And granted, COVID is just one part of the PSYOP. It's a many-headed hydra. It's a monster with many heads. But principally, of course, that aspect of the assault that is most prominent, most evident across the world, can be seen in the so-called measures taken to prevent the spread of the virus and to defeat this virus. That notion of defeating a virus in itself is an act of psychological warfare. It is a lie, it is a deceit, and it is a setup. Now, in the block of units called the pandemic deception, I'd like to present some specific tactics that might be used in facing and overcoming the PSYOP. And one of those tactics that will show up in the units there is arrogation. This is a great word, arrogation. It means to talk back. So to arrogate is actually a verb, and it means to talk back to the authorities specifically in this context. So one of the things that I would, the first thing that I would indicate to you is the way that it looks on the battlefront. We're on the battlefront now. When you step out of your house, or even when you're in the privacy of your own home, you are on the battlefront. So what are the terms of engagement, and what does the line of the battlefront look like? But one of the first things those who are facing this horror come to understand is, of course, that the battle is rigged. In particular, in many ways, but in particular, it is rigged so that you, if you choose to oppose the authorities, will be overwhelmed and blasted day in and day out with fear-mongering messages. And the great, great majority of what will reach you through the mass media, the mainstream media, as well as through alternative sources on the internet, the great majority of that input into your life and your psyche comes from those who are perpetrating the PSYOP. So they will only represent it in one way. For example, it has become obvious now since March that there is opposition, there is pushback to the PSYOP, but the information that you have about that pushback is in some measure misleading, certainly, and in another measure, it is totally, totally inadequate due to the fact that the inhumane, insane, life-hating, biophobic monsters who are running the PSYOP control the mainstream media and, to a large extent, the alternative media. It is impossible to know exactly how the pushback is operating. It is impossible to know at any moment how much pushback there is, how much ground those who are fighting against the PSYOP are gaining moment by moment and day by day. You just don't know. You just can't know. One of the ways that I propose that you deal with this problem is to rely upon first-hand sources and direct witnesses, people you know in flesh and blood. You will get reports from people around you, and those reports from combatants on the ground will be more reliable, and they will tell you more about how the pushback is actually unfolding than anything that you hear through the mainstream media. Nonetheless, I want to bring your attention to the fact that there do appear to be indications, even through the mainstream media, of the strength and magnitude of the pushback against the PSYOP. There do appear to be indications. One of those indications is the document that's included in the unit for this talk. This is a really impressive document. And in a way, you could say it is a statement of arrogation. It isn't really exactly that. And I'll explain why in a moment. But it is certainly a platform for arrogation. So in that document, you have brilliantly laid out point after point professional medical objections, first of all, to the very concept of the virus, of the mysterious microbe, the definition of it, and the claims that have been made regarding how it works. And secondly, they present brilliant points of refutation regarding the dictates for prevention of spreading the virus and measures to be taken by the general public to handle this virus. So that document is worth printing out and keeping as a reference. And you yourself could take any one of the points in that document and bring them forth in a face-to-face and person-to-person situation, and you could arrogate on the basis of that document. Also, if I might add, there is a documentary. I don't think it's on YouTube, but it's on BitChute, other places. Plandemic, Plandemic 1, Plandemic 2. And that documentary, which is beautifully, skillfully designed, the creators of it have done a tremendous job, the creator, and that contains also many points of arrogation. So why do I say that the Belgian document, which actually I believe originated in the United States, but for some reason has been presented to the authorities in Belgium, whom I know quite well from having lived on and off in Belgium for many years, well, that document is not actually an example of arrogation, because in the strict sense, arrogation is a conversation. It's a debate or a confrontation between two parties. So if there was, for instance, a panel on mainstream television in Belgium, which presented, say, one representative of that document and one representative of the authorities who are enforcing the insane measures of lockdown, then you would have actual arrogation, because the one party could confront the other party directly, and the authorities in that case would be confronted frontally with the challenge to explain what they're doing and justify what they're doing. That's what arrogation is. It's a frontal confrontation. Now, an example of something that often comes to my mind as an example of arrogation is this simple question to ask anyone. You could ask anyone this. Well, how many deaths have actually been caused by COVID-19? How many people have actually died of COVID-19? Do you know the statistics of deaths in the United States, Belgium, Spain, Italy, wherever? Do you know how many people have died due to COVID-19? And I assure you that almost everyone confronted with that question will not be able to answer that question correctly. As you surely know by now, the statistics have been rigged. The statistics are lies. Now, recently, in the first week of September, there was a remarkable event in the mainstream media. Now, take this tentatively and cautiously as proof of pushback, or at least as an occasion for real pushback. It so happens that the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, released a statement in which they announced that the actual figures for deaths due to COVID-19 in the United States from January through the end of August 2020 was, I think, 9,700 something. Anyway, it was below 10,000. Now compare that to the figures that have been thrown around and put out over and over again, consistent with the relentless fear-mongering, that have stated estimates of 150,000, 180,000, 200,000 and more. Now, I believe that the CDC statement said it may have even alluded to the figure of something like 180,000, which was the going figure that was repeated endlessly in the mainstream media. But they actually came out and said, no, there have not been 180,000 deaths in the United States due to COVID. There have been under 10,000. So what do you make of that? I have to comment on this as well. I have to warn you to be extremely vigilant about news that comes out, in this case in the mainstream, that appears to contradict utterly the master narrative that goes along with COVID-19. You have to ask yourself the question, well, why would this statement even have been released? Doesn't it seem it's coming from the authorities? Doesn't it appear to be in direct contradiction to what the authorities have been saying? So be very careful about information and statements coming from the authorities who are perpetrating the PSYOP that appears to contradict their justifications. I don't say to dismiss that statement as untrue or to dismiss it as some kind of, let's say that it's not a lie. Let's say that it is the truth about the statistics. But you always have to bear in mind that the enemies of life who are insidiously perverse in the way that they handle everything can also use the truth against you. You know, I remember a famous line from The Exorcist, where the exorcist was talking about the tactics of the demon who possessed the young girl. And he said, it will use lies to frighten you and use the truth to deceive you, or something like that. So bear in mind that the monsters behind this event will allow the truth to be known as long as they are confident in their calculations and their strategies, their overall long-term plan, as long as they're confident that even the release of the truth will be to their advantage in some way or another. Be very cautious about that. Now, I'm not compiling the reports that have come to my attention lately. It's just something that I don't really care to give my time to doing. My time is pretty well occupied, as you may imagine. But I'd venture to say that I have seen in the month of September at least half a dozen reports of the same character. For instance, there was a report coming out of Italy. Remember, Italy was targeted early on in the PSYOP as a hot spot for COVID. The report says that Italian doctors have concluded that 99.something% of the cases that were attributed to COVID mortality cannot be so attributed. And they stated something that numerous other people have stated: COVID was falsely assigned as the cause of death in cases where there were many other factors at play, age and other illnesses. So what's it all about, Rome? Why would there be in the mainstream media, although granted, let me revise that, why would there be available to those who look for it? It hasn't been broadcast on the 6 o'clock news, perhaps, but why would it even be out there? And that's not the only instance. There are other instances as well. So, for instance, if you're living in the UK, ask somebody that you meet, wearing a mask or not, do you know how many people have died from COVID-19? Do you know the actual statistics? That's a form of arrogation. They're going to say no, and then for what it's worth, you can tell them the statistics. I believe that they were reported on UK Column, which is a website that reports from England, and they are comparable to the corrected numbers from the United States. In other words, people who've died of COVID-19 really and actually from that variant of the seasonal flu, which is all it is, are a very small number. They amount to a very small number that is not larger and may in certain respects be even less than other variations of the seasonal flu. Remember that a coronavirus is a generic name for a number of strains of seasonal flu. I think about 15 to 20% of the 200 known kinds of viruses, which is a questionable concept, are coronaviruses. So if it was 20% of 200 cases, it would be there are 40 strains of coronaviruses, and they are all nothing more than seasonal flus that have never been shown to produce a high rate of mortality, nor have they been shown to be extremely contagious. Now, on that topic of contagiousness, I just heard a couple of days ago another report. Again, where do I hear this report? I think it was on Computing Forever. That's a YouTube channel of an Irishman who is in the opposition, in the resistance against the PSYOP. Maybe it wasn't him. But somewhere, someone pointed out, again, a document, a statement from the authorities themselves, from those who are perpetrating this crime against humanity. And the statement said that the World Health Organization, WHO, had said that they were incorrect in assumptions they made about the virus being airborne. Now, of course, everyone who is crumbling and collapsing under the fear-mongering assumes that this virus is airborne. It's a mysterious mist. The mist of the Grim Reaper is floating across the planet. And you can walk into the mist if someone else is carrying that, and you can get the virus in that way. This is entirely untrue. This is an enormous lie. It's a criminal fraud. On that note, by the way, I would recall another amazing event in the mainstream media that goes back to June. There's a panel of the WHO consisting of three people, a woman on the right, and at the proper distance from her at the table, a couple of other people on the left. And she stated that WHO has established that the chances of an asymptomatic person spreading the virus to others is almost nil. It's extremely rare. And of course, that goes against the narrative that people are being scared into believing. So asymptomatic means, again, this is another con. This is more cognitive dissonance. This is more twisted language to screw up your mind. Asymptomatic means, in their narrative, that you can test positive and be infected and yet show no signs of disease, no symptoms, but you can still transmit the disease to someone else. But the World Health Organization itself has come out and said that that is not true. So what's going on here? One needs to look really carefully at this development. And I'm going to make a specific cautionary comment about that in a moment. That's when I get to the bad news. But before that, let's just talk about the flu for a moment. You know, there's, from the Gnostic point of view, there is Gnostic intel encoded in the word flu. Of course, it's short for influenza. Now, bear in mind that the COVID-19 or SARS variant of coronavirus is not influenza. At the very most, it could be said to be a strain of coronavirus that develops in the direction of influenza. Therefore, in those genuine cases where someone suffers an infection of COVID-19 that goes lethal, they would die from conditions that resemble influenza. So flu is short for influenza. And to the Gnostic, that word, influenza, is encoded with some really important information. It actually means influence. So if you want to investigate what's at the bottom or what's at the source of the psyop, you could phrase the question in this way. What is the influence? What is the influence operating through the psyop? You know, there's a term, a trope, that has been much discussed on the internet. Perhaps you've heard this, the revelation of the method. And there's been a lot of talk about the revelation of the method. Generally speaking, it applies to the social phenomenon observed by many citizen detectives of so-called predictive programming. So it is said that the perpetrators of these psyops and crimes against humanity set the population up and prepare the population by predictive programming. For instance, there are clues in the Simpsons films, and there was a movie, a film, a pilot for a movie series that actually showed planes crashing into 9/11. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It is widely assumed on the basis of very solid evidence that the globalist perpetrators clue the population to what they're going to do to them. This, of course, is typical in the profile of a serial killer. So when a serial killer has the victim in hand, he or she will torture the victim by telling them what they're going to do to them before they do it. So the revelation of the method is a trope that applies to this method of psychological torture. Well, I submit to you that in the Gnostic frame, the trope changes. Consider the revelation of the influence. Something that can come out of this horrific assault that can be to the benefit of everyone in the world is just that, the revelation of the influence. There is an influence in human affairs that is not human. Now that is Gnostic intel, and you won't get it anywhere else in the way you get it from the Gnostic background. The Sophianic narrative, the home story, as well as more elaborate material based in the ancient teachings of the Gnostics, the teachers of the mystery schools. More elaborate material, precise material that identifies the influence. If you try to understand or work out or figure out what is happening on this planet without factoring in the influence, you will never figure it out. And the Gnostics were extremely precise, and they alone stand alone in making this known to humanity. They stand alone in as the first on record to identify the influence, which they called the archons. And strange as it may seem, the word archon in Greek is often translated as ruler or authorities. Ruler or authority. Archontes is the plural, hence the adjective archontic. So there is an archontic power behind this psyop, and it is not human. But in order to really grasp that statement and handle it correctly and be able to use it as a powerful tool of opposition, you need to learn the deeper Gnostic intel. So, revelation of the influence. Another way that intel comes to expression in my work in Nemata on this platform is through the phrase, the righteous third party. One of the observations that I have developed over the years is extremely pertinent to the current event in the world drama. I have said that we are living in a divine experiment, and all that is good news. And believe me, the more you learn about that experiment in the aeons of Phaia and Thelete and the aeons in the Pleroma, which is the true and verifiable creation story for our species, the more you learn about that, well, the more you realize that this experiment is all about beauty, freedom, power, love, creativity, originality, authenticity, and everything about this experiment is good, from its origin, through its process, to its conclusion. But the Gnostic teaching, unique among all the spiritual or metaphysical or religious programs in the world, explains that there is something wrong in the experiment. There is the presence of an influence that was not intended to be there in the first place. So the point that I've often made over the years, and it's a brilliant and simple point, goes like this. You as a human animal living in the world, and many generations before you, have never had the opportunity to know what human problems really look like. Now, there are human problems in the experiment. There is conflict. There is war. There are differences between the races and differences between individuals within the races. But fundamentally, the problem is that we have never had the chance to work out our own problems due to the presence of the righteous third party. Let me briefly give you two examples, because this is such an important point of basic orientation, not only to the Gnostic view of life, but specifically to the COVID psyop. If you go back in history and you read, say, about the war between the Greeks and the Persians, you have a simple scenario of two races, two peoples, two nations who are in conflict, the Persians and the Greeks. If you come further forward in history to the pagan era in Europe before Christianity spread, you find other situations of conflicts or confrontations between different groups, namely tribes. It's not easy to find this information, by the way, because the records of human behavior and the histories of various races, which demonstrate the absence of the third party, are rare. But there is one example. I don't recommend that you go read this, by the way, but it happens to be favorite reading of mine. There's a collection of writings attributed to someone called Saxo Grammaticus. And he was a scholar and historian, I think, of the 12th century. I don't know. I have to check. I'll put it in the notes. Anyway, Saxo Grammaticus wrote a book called Gesta Danorum in Latin, which means the gestures or the behaviors or customs of the Danes, the customs of the Danes. And in these documents, he gives descriptions of various scenarios that happened among pagan tribes, mainly the Danes and their neighbors, the Swedes, the Norwegians, free of Christianity and free of third-party influence. And so you see in these stories how people behaved when they were free of the influence. And you see that they had standards of morality, they had standards of honor, and they engaged with each other in a particular way. Today, living in the world today, you do not have the advantage of engagement that is free from the righteous third party. They have their hand in everything. They are behind everything. They are the puppet masters. And so when you see any situation, for instance, let's say the situation regarding the German people, the German race in their own nation, Germany, in opposition to migrants coming from Africa and the Far East and other places into Germany. So there's a problem in Germany, right? About so-called migration into Germany. Well, if there was not an alien factor in this experiment, then that would be all there is to it. That would be the German people against this other group, the alien migrants. But as a matter of fact, that's not the case. There is a righteous third party who has set up the conflict that faces the German people, and also the British people and the American people. They have set up the conflict and they are manipulating it, sometimes from behind the scenes and sometimes openly. So I want you to register that the brilliance of the Gnostic intel is so crucial because it reminds you again and again that the situation that we are in the world is anomalous. Yes, you are living in a divine experiment, but something has gone wrong in the experiment. And that is in fact due to a virus from outer space. So if you consider life on Earth to be an experiment conducted in a Petri dish, the biospheric Petri dish, then you can learn from the Gnostics the unique truth that there is only one virus. There is only one interference, one intrusion in the Petri dish that can be called a virus. The other so-called viruses in the Petri dish are nothing but microbial ingredients in the beautiful chemistry of nature. So, there has been an infection upon this planet. And it did come from outside the planet. That is the archontic infection. Is COVID-19 the archontic infection? No. No. The COVID-19 psyop is the manifestation of the archontic infection. It is the work of the archons and their human proxies. This is hardcore Gnostic intel. Obviously, there's a lot more I could specify about the archontic infection and the archontic proxies. But I will leave that to the units that are in development in the block, The Pandemic Deception. I want to conclude with the bad news, and then go on to a positive note about the beauty to come. I've laid out this situation in which we see that there is pushback. There is evidence of opposition, refutation, demanding the authorities to justify what they do. The board of doctors founded in Germany, who are exposing that COVID-19 is a medical fraud And many, many other people, I'm sure that there are many more that we will never even know about because it's not going to be reported. Or if the opposition is reported, as I said, you would have to look carefully at the question, well, how would it advantage the perpetrators of the PSYOP to allow some of the truth about their deceit to become known? This is where the bad news comes in. It's possible, given there is genuine pushback and opposition, it's possible that the authorities would allow that to be known in order to give faith to people. In order to encourage people. And they would, let's say, allow it to be known that at the line of engagement in the battlefield, they are losing ground and their adversaries are gaining ground. So, how could they use that to their advantage? How would it benefit them to let that be known? Well, that would be the case if the entire pandemic event was simply a preparation for something worse that they intend to inflict upon humanity. It could be a setup and a smokescreen, and behind that, there could be something else coming. There could be another level or layer of the attack. They could have something else in their weaponry ready to deploy. And I think you know what I'm getting at here. There's been a lot of talk about 5G technology. I look very cautiously at this talk, but I'm sure that there is something in it. For one thing, I noted as I was learning about it in the course of the summer. Listen to this, see if I get this straight. 60 gigahertz operates in the absorption spectrum of oxygen. Have you ever heard that phrase? Let me say that again. 60 gigahertz, which is the operating frequency of 5G, works in the absorption spectrum of oxygen. So the claim is that those who suffer from COVID-19 show various symptoms. The most alarming symptom is, of course, respiratory, shortness of breath. So, allegedly, and this is a deceit because the virus itself is a deceit, but allegedly, people who die of COVID-19 will die from hypoxia, which is a shortness of breath, a lack of absorption of oxygen. Now, if the claim is true that 5G EMF technology also produces that effect, hypoxia, then you're looking at something dangerous and horrible that might indeed be contained in this psyop. Don't take that as fear-mongering. I'm not trying to frighten you, but I am advising you to be vigilant about this particular angle of the PSYOP. Now, I am certain that going into the winter of 2020, in October and November, there is going to be tremendous turbulence in the world in every conceivable aspect of life. Health, food, finances, politics, everywhere you look. And it may just be that if there is an ulterior plan of attack behind the smokescreen of the COVID-19 attack, it's likely that it will be deployed in the immediate future. So you see my point. The advantage in allowing the population to have hope, I never use that word myself, allowing them to be encouraged by exposing the lies, the massive body of lies operating in the PSYOP, might work in exactly that way. In the cruel and devious minds of the perpetrators, they could be preparing this second assault, and they would have a justification for it. If they can produce the alleged effects of hypoxia and other nefarious effects upon the human body, if they can really produce that with 5G technology, then sure, they can let it be seen that the pandemic is winding down. They can let it be seen that they are lying, because they can come back around on the other side and say, oops, it looks like there has been a vicious mutation of COVID-19. And even though we warned you, and you did follow our measures, but you didn't follow our measures sufficiently, and we warned you that if you didn't follow our measures, it was going to get worse, and now here is the worst of it. And they would produce some kind of horror show. They would like to. I'm not saying they're going to, but it's plausible that they would produce some kind of horror show using 5G EMF weaponry and attribute it to a vicious mutation of the disease. So be vigilant about that. Take heart from the positive pushback, the verifiable pushback that is happening. That's undeniable. You can see it in this statement to the Belgian authorities. At the same time, don't get caught off guard. All right, finally, having said all that, we come to the topic of the beauty to come. I like this expression, first of all, because it's true, because it refers to the beauty of life itself. Just think about how the measures to fight this phantom microbe have destroyed the simple beauties of life. You are not free to make friends anymore in the way that you would have done in the past, say, by mingling with some people if you went to visit a foreign country, or even by mingling with the people in your own neighborhood. You are not free to make friends. You are not free to do many, many of the things that comprise the simple pleasures and beauties of life. Well, of course, you are free if you defy, but the authorities want you to eventually surrender and be demoralized to the point where you believe that you are no longer free. Never believe that you are not free. Freedom is part of this experiment. Freedom is inherent in the way the aeons have designed this experiment. In the time to come, the time that has come right now, is the moment to claim that freedom. Now, among those of us in PT who've been in the game somewhat longer than perhaps you as a newcomer or novice, we look upon the problem of humanity today as a problem due largely to illusions of freedom. How could this ever have happened, that you can't walk out of your house freely, that you can't travel, you can't fly from one country to another, you can't drive across your own state? How did this happen? It happened because the great vast population of the earth, who are participants in this divine experiment, are victims of their own illusions of freedom. There is no way to get to the beauty to come except going through this nightmare, through it. Can't go around it, can't avoid it, can't pretend it's not there. You have to go through it to reach the beauty to come. And there are many, many facets to that beauty. Life in the world on the other side of this PSYOP, once it has been defeated, and those who are perpetrating it have been eliminated, well, that's a world of true freedom, which means a world free of the illusions of freedom. It is, in fact, human ignorance about freedom and other things, such as the composition of the biosphere, such as the true nature of microbial activity in the earth, such as the true nature of so-called viruses, such as the falsity of germ theory that originated with Louis Pasteur. The real truth about all of those matters is part of the beauty to come. You're certainly looking at a moment when the entire world can be made again. Make life on earth great again. Make it more real and beautiful and good and fair than it ever was. This is the opportunity to do just that and all that. As horrible as it is, and it is a horror, but it is the greatest opportunity that ever faced the human species. And the Gnostics saw that too, and they called it correction, the correction of the Aeon Sophia. And you are not alone in this correction. The planetary animal mother herself, Gaia Sophia, is making this correction. There is nothing, nothing cruel or punitive in the design of this divine experiment. The presence of this cruel, insane, deceitful, life-hating agency, the influence, the righteous third party, the presence of that force in the world has to be exposed and overthrown entirely. And the COVID-19 PSYOP is the opportunity to do so. This would never have happened. It would have never been possible to pull off this con were it not for the illusions of freedom entertained by the great population of people around the world. Now, I don't often use the word deserve, but in this context, in closing this talk, I'm going to use it in an explicit formula. It has been said that people deserve the leaders they get. People deserve the misleaders they get. People deserve the psychopaths that are running their governments, their educational institutions, the media, and all the other organizations, large-scale organizations on the planet. But my particular language here modifies that statement, which I believe to be true. I would say that people deserve what their ignorance brings to them. There are not, and there cannot be, any innocent bystanders in this event. The ignorance of what freedom really is, and the illusions of freedom that have brought humanity to this passage, have to be overcome to reach the world of genuine freedom. And in that world, there are no rights. Rights are dictated by the righteous third party. You may have noticed that. Those who speak for humanity at large, those who declare themselves as humanitarians. But in the world to come, there are no rights. There are only agreements made in freedom. And that truth, that statement, might be taken as a guideline to show the way into the next world and the beauty to come.